Welcome on into our Thursday, August 22nd edition of Sports Talk. The second half, going to be bringing you plenty of sound. The training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Hear what head coach Dennis Allen had to say after today's practice. Also hear from Chris Olave, what he's thinking about this new system under Clint Kubiak. Tomorrow in the Caesars Superdome, 1 o'clock. Hope you got your tickets. The Saints will have an open practice for fans. Like I said, a 1 o'clock start, not a p.m. session like it was in Tulane the other evening. That was a blast. I know fans and the players looking forward to it. The having the Hudettes in attendance really does make such a difference for them even. They were so excited to see everybody. Derek Carr stayed around late to give autographs out to the whole Hudette Nation out there. And he said that's something that he's been accustomed to, you know, even from his days with Las Vegas and with Oakland, the Raiders, when they were both in both locations. Always identified with the fans because, you know, him being a youngster growing up, got to be around some guys. Even when his brother went to the Houston Texans, meeting these players was such an inspiration to him, and understands how much it can influence a youngster to maybe even want to, you know, pursue that dream of being an NFLer. So shout out to Derek Carr and obviously all the rest of the Saints too that did that. Like, I know Cam Jordan was like the selfie king the other night, you know, taking photos with folks because his hand cramped up. He was signing so many autographs. It was also cool too. I was seeing running back Jamal Williams with a football beforehand, before the Saints practice, was throwing back and forth with people in the stands. Very cool stuff. So hopefully I will see you folks out there for that 1 o'clock practice tomorrow in the Caesars Superdome. Definitely looking forward to it because ain't nothing beat the air conditioning of the dome. And also looking forward to seeing some of those renovations. Haven't been in there in a while to check out some of the things. And Dennis Allen even talked about the players getting to see their new locker room. I'm curious to see what the new digs look like after getting revamped, Charlie.
It's been a long process, so the fact that it's finally wrapped up, yeah, I'm sure it looks nice. And I haven't been in the dome in a couple of years, so I can't say anything really. I do remember the dome pre-renovation, so I have to make a trip out at some point and check it out.
Definitely. And 7 o'clock hour for all you fantasy footballers. We'll be talking to Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Podcast Network. Talk about some fantasy do's and don'ts for your drafts. I hope you haven't had one yet. My son's already done two, and I'm like, what are you doing? You got to wait till after the preseason.
We're going to be doing ours, I think, our work league, right, with Jordan and Jeff, and we're probably going to be doing that next week, huh?
Yeah, I haven't gotten the exact date yet. I know Jordan was trying to find out the best times and days for everybody.
Yeah, Jordan, the producer for Tommy's show. So.
But to me, it's always, especially now with that mini bye week you have, it makes no sense to do it during the preseason just in case there's that severe injury where you're like, oh, guys lost for the season.
A lot of times, though, that third preseason game is almost entirely backups.
No, very true.
So
I'm still don't want to chance it.
No, I get that, too.
Curious to see, though. I know a lot of folks have been buzzing lately about, should Christian McCaffrey still be your number one overall pick in the draft? And for me, it's a yes, even though I've heard some whispers about Breece Hall, Bijan Johnson. We'll definitely get into that with Chad Parsons. Have you done any fantasy football drafts yet, Charlie?
No, my first one is scheduled. I did a dynasty draft recently, but my first actual, you know, redraft is going to be scheduled for, I think, next Saturday, the 31st. So it's coming up, but it's still about a week away.
Yeah, definitely something I look forward to, and I even do fantasy mock drafts. I know that might be lame, but I like to just the fun of drafting.
I got the 108, Steve, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do with that. I'm not exactly sure.
What's that now?
I have the 8th overall pick.
Oh, okay. You said 108, and I was like, wait a minute.
The 108 means
I got you. First round, eighth pick.
So I got the 108 in my draft. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And it's a 10-man league, so I'm looking forward to talking with Chad about it because there's a lot of those top-tier fantasy players that you want early on in your first round picks, like CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase and all these guys that are having kind of holdout issues,
right,
and contract negotiations.
That dropped their value for folks. You know, without having that deal in place, I'm sure something's going to get done, but you just concerned that they're not in that, you know, that regular season rhythm, at least to start the year.
I guess in like a similar sense, it's kind of the same thing with Brandon Ayuk, except that he's not really necessarily a first round pick. He's probably closer to a third round pick or something.
I'd agree,
in fantasy, but still a premier level player that could be going early in drafts is still not figured out their contract situation. And Mike and I were talking about that earlier with Ayuk. It's a really interesting kind of open door for Washington, right? Because they trade Jahan Dotson.
I was going to say, especially now, right?
They move on from a former first round pick at receiver. And now they add a third-round pick.
Just going to say that, right?
And you can kind of cobble together a really good offer to send San Francisco's way. Now, if you make that decision, you got to be have, you know, a contract ready, willing in place for someone like Ayuk. And I think that there's already kind of that built-in connection with Ayuk and Jaden Daniels, who played together at Arizona State in 2019.
Correctamundo.
So for Washington, a team that just moved on from one of their top three receivers, I think Jahan Dotson had been kind of disappointing after being a first-round pick. He basically has just over 1,000 yards for his NFL career in the first 2 years. At the same time, you know, Terry McLaurin is kind of the lone survivor in that wide receiver room right now. Like, you're not going to adjust someone like Luke McCaffrey into the wide receiver two role or D'Ami Brown or someone like that. If you go out and get someone like Ayuk, he instantly becomes your wide receiver one. You pay him, you know, the $30 million per year that he's looking for, whatever. And then you have Terry McLaurin as a premier wide receiver two. What is better for a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels than having those two guys on the outside to throw to?
Right,
and especially Jaden Daniels, who, I mean, we saw it all last year in his Heisman-winning campaign at LSU. The deep ball was gorgeous from Jaden Daniels. And having someone like Ayuk, that's such a good deep route runner. Steve, he didn't catch as many balls as you might think. His yards per catch were the reason that he went over 1,300 yards this past year. So I think it's a perfect fit. It's just if Washington's willing to pull the trigger. And if they are, the Commanders instantly become a lot scarier than a lot of people are giving them credit for.
Yeah, we've mentioned it, obviously, with the not only, though, the issue with the trade for Ayuk is you're giving up assets, plus then you have to turn around and give the guy a contract. But, man, I'd be excited about that for Jaden Daniels. We've talked about what a great situation Caleb Williams is in Chicago with all the wide receivers they've added to the roster now. I know Justin Fields has to be jealous.
Well, you spend a top pick on the quarterback. You want them to succeed. You need them to work out, or else you're kind of stuck in the situation that Carolina's in right now, where Bryce Young, it was such a terrible first year, but it wasn't necessarily his fault. Everything around him was just awful, right? So they invested a lot of money into their offensive line. Kay Adams actually talked with Cam Jordan about this, and he mentioned, you know, the whole thing with Bryce Young and his rookie campaign. It was just a nightmare because they just tried to make him work out instantly without giving him any help.
Bryce.
Well, yeah, no, you got to get the little jabs in there. But Cam was also willing to recognize that Bryce didn't have a lot of help his rookie campaign. So they go out and they draft some weapons. They draft a new running back in Jonathan Brooks. They draft a first-round receiver in Xavier Leggett. They draft one of the better tight ends on the board in Jatavion Sanders.
They signed some O-linemen.
Like my guy Robert Hunt from UL, they handed him a five-year $200 million, or $100 million contract that pays him $20 million per. Like Robert Hunt, you know, had a huge payday from the Carolina Panthers, and they're all investing to make sure that Bryce Young works, right? So if you're spending a top pick, look at what happened with, obviously, the Chicago Bears. They didn't just make that move to go get someone like DJ Moore, but they also spent a premium draft pick on Rome Odunze. They go out and get Keenan Allen in the offseason. They're loading up at receiver, too. It's been kind of the trend of the NFL is that when you spend these top picks on quarterbacks, and maybe it takes them a little bit of time to develop, you go out and get them weapons. Go out and make sure that they can be as comfortable as they can as a signal caller because they have all the confidence in the world and the guys they're thrown to. So if you're Washington and you spend the number two overall pick on Jaden Daniels, yes, you already have Terry McLaurin in place. Go out and get Brandon Ayuk. Go out and get an all-pro receiver. And, I mean, yes, you're going to have to pay both in draft capital to get a trade going for Ayuk and also in the eventual contract that you're going to have to give him, but it's worth it. It's got to be worth it because if you have the number two overall pick invested in someone like Jaden Daniels and you're very confident in his, you know, talent after what you saw at LSU this past year, make sure he works out early and often. And that's how you do that. You go out and get a stud receiver for him.
Plus, I think the NFC East, I won't say it's wide open, but there's still question marks there between the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously, the New York Giants. You just don't know what's going to be in store for them this year. You're expecting more from Philadelphia, but also you got, obviously, the Dallas Cowgirls in the mix.
On paper, Steve, you kind of figure that the Eagles are the best team in that division. On paper.
Right.
Right, but
things fell apart, last year.
It's so hard to get that out of your mouth. That taste out of your mouth of what happened in the final
seven weeks.
They were like 10-1, and then they lost their final six or seven games.
Well.
it was a complete collapse, and you know, so Nick Sirianni, the head coach, is kind of entering the year on the hot seat, you would have to imagine.
Because
you move on from, you get to the Super Bowl, and you have D.C. Jonathan Gannon, and you have O.C., the Colts coach. I'm blanking on his name.
Fangio.
No, the Indianapolis Colts head coach.
Oh, Steichen.
Shane Steichen, thank you. And you have these two stud coordinators, and then they both move on to become head coaches at different spots.
Right, you get pillaged.
And then, after you make it to the Super Bowl, and you still look good. You're off to a great start, and then things just completely fell apart.
Right off
so,
the cliff.
So, yes, if you're looking at the NFC East, you kind of imagine that Philadelphia is probably the best team there, and then maybe Dallas. But then after that, like, the Giants aren't doing anything this year.
Right.
So if you're trying to sneak into the playoffs in the first year of Jaden Daniels' tenure, that's how you kind of do it. You make sure that you get weapons for that offense and you load up.
Make some waves in Washington.
No, it's really an interesting, you know, concept, but we'll just have to see if it works out, because right now it's all speculation.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says, you know, Washington's going to make this move, but
no,
we know
the
connection.
Dots, though, right.
We know the connection between Ayuk and Daniels already from their time at Arizona State. Apparently they work out together too. It just makes sense from so many different angles. You know that he would accept a trade there, too.
Yeah, if I'm Jaden Daniels, I go, look, guys, look at that chemistry between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati. We can bring that here in Washington if we get Ayuk.
It's just what I'm saying, man. You get your young quarterback weapons, and you watch them just bloom. And to Bobby's point, Bobby has said this a couple times, that he expects either Chicago or Washington to be taking up a playoff spot this year. Maybe not necessarily both, but one or the other, where you can expect either Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels to have a fantastic rookie campaign. I could see that happening too. But if Washington goes out and gets, you know, Brandon Ayuk, and one of the reasons that we're talking about this so much is because the Saints do have to play Washington late in the season.
Yes.
And at that point, if Jaden Daniels is comfortable leading that Commanders offense led by Cliff Kingsbury, the OC there, like, I don't know, Steve, that might not be a gimme game for the Saints.
Exactly. We're going to get into our training camp sound bank when we get back from the break. Want to hear from you also on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Who's heading out to that practice in the Dome tomorrow? And also, are you going to be in attendance when the Black and Gold are back in the Caesars Superdome for the preseason finale Sunday against the Tennessee Titans? I know it's just a preseason matchup, but shoot, it's football, and the Saints are back, baby. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Before we get into our training camp sound, I forgot Paul Skeens was on the bump today, and he must have heard he's no longer the betting favorite for Rookie of the Year.
Wait, he's not the betting favorite anymore?
No.
I thought he was still, like, I thought it was closer, obviously, with Jackson Churio, but I thought he was still in the lead.
No, he dipped down a bit now. So.
Whoa.
But Skeens has responded today through 3 1/3 innings. Charlie's allowed 1 hit, 1 walk, and has struck out 5. And I'm seeing all over social media how his ball has been 100 miles an hour plus, and his changeup has been ridiculous, too.
That's been kind of the knock on him post-All-Star break, right, is that his velo has been a little bit down. He hasn't thrown as many 100-mile-per-hour pitches.
It's back up.
He must be hearing the noise. Buzz that he's not really in that Rookie of the
Year.
I'll
show you, right.
Yeah, the lead for the rookie. And look, Jackson Churio has been awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, like, Paul Skeens is still a candidate for Cy Young as a rookie.
And we're in the top of the fourth right now. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati scoreless. Still the situation of no runs.
You got to love the Pirates. We'll keep y'all updated on that. It's fun.
Definitely. Now time to get into our training camp sound bank that's brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Saints racked up practice today at the facility in Metairie on Airline Drive. Head coach Dennis Allen was asked, first up, what's this team working on right now as you get ready to close out the preseason?
Well, everything's in, you know, and so you have a few little tweaks and window dressings to a few little things, but for the most part, you know, everything's in, and we're working on trying to perfect, you know, what we're doing, and we're working on perfecting situational type offense, situational type defense, because that's a huge important part in the game. You can have the same play call, you know, on a 1st and 10 and a 3rd and 7, but yet how you're operating might be different. You know what I mean? Just based on the situation.
Yeah, a lot of stuff still to clean up, as, you know, coaches would say. The Saints, though, do have everything installed now, offense, defense, special teams fully in, and yeah, it better be. We're getting that much closer to the regular season start.
You're through 21 days of camp. You better have stuff ready to go. I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, Steve, we're getting close to the start of the regular season. It's this weekend, and then you have the week off in between.
Right.
And then NFL regular season football is here. So, yeah, they've gotten a lot of good work done out in California. That's what DA kept saying, is that, you know, limited distractions. They were able to get a bunch installed. And, you know, kind of circling back around to the Kendra Miller stuff, right?
Oh,
when you're,
man.
When you're learning a new offense, it's super important to be getting reps and being on the field early and often. He just hasn't been on there, so that's kind of been a little bit unfortunate for that running back room that Mike and I kind of talked about in the last hour or so. But still, I mean, you got a bunch installed over the past couple of weeks, and now you're just kind of getting to the end of the preseason. You got the 53-man roster deadline on Tuesday of next week. It's 5 days away from now, which is hard to believe. And then you rock and roll towards the regular season.
I love the fact, too, we got preseason football tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, it's the final stretch.
And boom, then
it's
close it done. Out, baby.
Yeah.
No Monday night football, though.
I guess that makes sense because Tuesday is the cut deadline.
Right. So I'm sure a lot of guys will be finding out Monday.
Yeah, all these – right, exactly. There's that, but also all these teams kind of have their last day to settle everything.
Man, you mentioned with the running back in Kendra Miller, I don't know what this team's going to do with him. How do you put him on the roster when you haven't seen a single thing from him from training camp because he was out of the first practice? I don't know if we're expecting him to end up on IR. Will he end up on the physically unable to perform list? But – I don't think in the end this team will end up cutting their third-round pick from a year ago, but it is really – you can tell, obviously, Dennis Allen, and I'm sure a bunch of the coaches are just frustrated with this guy not being able to stay on the field because it seems like his routine of whatever it is to get himself ready for the season just isn't adequate.
So Jeff made a really good tweet on this. Jeff Nowak, our St. Simon reporter, came out yesterday. He said – the most likely scenario is the Saints take advantage of the rule change for the season and designate Kendra Miller IR to return on cutdown day. So via this kind of decision that they would make, Kendra Miller would be out for the first 4 weeks of the season. But also Jeff says that gives him some time to basically ramp up because, as we mentioned, he hasn't really learned the offense necessarily because he hasn't been on the field. And so there are things that he'll have to kind of pick up on, and you can't just kind of throw him out as soon as he's ready to come back from that hamstring injury, which we still don't know the severity of. Obviously, it's kept him out for nearly a month at this point. But having those first 4 weeks he would be out for, but, you know, it doesn't really count against it.
It's just really disturbing the fact you'd think you'd be even seeing him at least working off to the side with trainers right now. It's not even that.
No, sir.
Going from wide running back to wide receiver, Charlie, there's a whole bunch of questions on this squad at the position. I know, obviously, you got your number ones, Chris Olave. Number two is Rashid Shaheed. Number three, we think, is Cedric Wilson Jr. Seems to have earned that role, the veteran. But after that, a lot of question marks and a lot of guys that have been injured in camp as well. Dennis Allen was asked how he feels about the depth at wide receiver right now.
Yeah, look, we were looking at that today. I mean, I think we've got, you know, a deep group in there. And so I think we got some tough decisions, you know, in terms of that. So it's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem, but there's still a lot of questions with those problems. I'm curious, for me, the biggest thing, I never got to see a Mason Tipton in action because I wasn't at the training camps in California.
Neither.
And just as curious to see what this kid's got.
Exactly, and from all the reports early on was that he was really lighting it up, so it's unfortunate that he got injured. And another thing that Jeff had posted about today's practice sessions was that A.T. Perry had a ton of reps today, apparently. He got a bunch of work done.
I know there's been questions about his roster spot being in danger, but I think he's safe.
I think so, too, hypothetically, right? It also depends on how many receivers you end up carrying, because if you carry, I don't know, six cornerbacks, like, are you cutting from different spots? Are you cutting from the running back room? Are you cutting from the linebackers? How many receivers are you going to carry? It's all questions that the coaching staff is obviously working out and figuring through. But, I mean, DA said he was confident in the depth of the wide receiver room, which I think is pretty interesting because that feels like not necessarily open-ended for us right now, but if you're looking at the top two receivers are set in stone,
right?
But Cedric Wilson Jr., I guess, has taken that wide receiver three spot, and it hasn't been exactly emphatic. It just is that he's been the most kind of consistent veteran presence at camp, and whereas A.T. Perry has shown up in games, but he hasn't been consistent at camp in practice sessions. So
you got your rookie draft pick and Bub Means.
Bub Means has been injured at points. You have a couple of players deep on the roster like Samson Ekua and Mason Tipton and, you know, Stanley Morgan, other players that are going to be contending to make it.
Haven't seen enough either of Equanimeous St. Brown.
Exactly. He's also been injured. So
depth we've talked about, like we said there. I'll be interested to see, especially Sunday, obviously in the preseason game, how things shake out. Moving on with Dennis Allen, he was asked about the addition of Jo'Wan Williams recently. Will he get playing time in this preseason finale at corner?
Yeah, I would expect to see him on Sunday playing. Now, how much or when, I don't know, but I would expect to see him getting in the game. Look, he's got experience in our league. He's big. He's got a lot of length, you know, and so I think he's, you know, kind of a good guy to take a look at here at the end of training camp.
6'3", 212 pounds, was a second-round pick out of Vanderbilt in 2019 by the Patriots. Jawan Williams will be interesting, obviously, too, to see him in action, getting some reps in this preseason finale as he tries to make this final cut.
Perfect time to do it, right? I mean, you just got signed yesterday, or the other day. I think it was, 2 days ago now? It was on Tuesday when he was signed?
Tuesday night, I remember, for the Saints practice at Yulman.
Yes, exactly. So you brought him in, you worked him out, you wanted to sign him. Now get to see him in live game action against the Tennessee Titans. It's a good situation, I would say.
Moving on, Dennis Allen asks, where does he feel his defense is right now as he get ready to wrap up the preseason?
I still think there's some things that we've got to, clean up a little bit. But I feel pretty good about where we're at. I mean, I think probably the biggest thing of anything is just getting all of our guys back and healthy and ready to go. I mean, we've had a lot of guys that, missed some time. So I think that's probably the biggest thing defensively. I think there's been a lot of it that's, sorted out in my mind over the course of the last month. So I like where we're at defensively.
I think, saying that is, pretty accurate, although I didn't like what DA had to say when he was asked, Charlie, at the end of today's practice about Marshon Lattimore, and he's like, oh, he's going through the rehab. And that's all he would really go further on, is just he's going through the rehab when asked if he'll be ready for week one. So that hip flexor seems to be more of an issue if you want to read into things.
And then also the injury with Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Right.
And that's why Mike has said you might carry 6 cornerbacks, is because there are some kind of injuries popping up here late. You hope that Marshon will be good to go for week one, just like you hope that Kool-Aid will be good to go week one. But it has been pretty tight-lipped, hasn't it, Steve?
They've definitely been
keeping it close to vest about the availability of either player for the start of the regular season, which...
Yeah, the report about, I remember Kool-Aid coming out about how he should be ready for week one, that definitely wasn't from the Saints. I forget where that was coming from exactly.
Yeah, it said should be ready. Should be.
Should be.
Yes, so...
We should be ready for week one, too.
We'll have to see.
Dennis Allen also going into roster cuts coming up on Tuesday, the initial roster cuts, because we know with every other team, obviously, in this league doing the same, there's going to be some players the Saints might be interested in, so nothing will be finalized. But with the new kickoff rule coming about, will that affect his pick for the 53-man roster?
I don't know that it's going to have some drastic effect on what we're doing, on our final 53. Who plays on those units might be different than maybe what we've done in the past, and I think that still remains to be seen. I think we're 2 games into a preseason, and I think we're going to see a lot of stuff different once we get to the regular season than what we're seeing right now. I mean, it's the same way offensively and defensively. You're going to see some different looks. You're going to see some things that you haven't, necessarily prepared for, and then you're going to have to be able to adjust. And so I think I don't think it's anything really from a roster construction standpoint, but maybe who you're using on those units might be a little different than what you've done in the past.
It wouldn't be like maybe keep more linebackers than DB, consistency.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case, because I think, each week, depending on who you're playing, you may have to – you're playing somebody and they want to go big. Well, you may have to go bigger. You playing somebody and they want to go small and faster, then you may have to have some, smaller, more active players. So it's really kind of that chess match, between, what they're wanting to do, how we're wanting to play, how they're wanting to play, and then how do we counteract what they're doing, So I still think that remains to be seen. I would say the one thing that's kind of stood out to me a little bit is a couple of things. I'd say, the ability of the returner to, hopefully be moving forward if you're on the return team, and if you're on the kickoff team, have them moving lateral or sideways. I think that's a big deal. And I see, because of the space, I'm seeing more of a need for guys to be able to, get in front and shield guys, and for guys to be able to get off of blocks. So I think both those things are important. I mean, it's not as big a space game maybe as what the previous kickoff was.
For all the talk about how exciting the new kickoff rule is going to be, I know it is still preseason. Folks are getting all used to it. All these teams are going through the motions, just getting adapted, but really hasn't brought that much excitement, Charlie.
it's taking getting used to visually.
Yes.
But it's not like once we're in midseason, Steve, we're all going to be like, okay, yeah, this is the new kickoff. And we're going to forget basically how the old one worked.
But we haven't seen those explosive returns either.
Exactly. It hasn't really resulted in much. Now, the starting field position has been something that I've noticed as far as a lot of times you're seeing teams start closer to the 30, 30 plus, like even 33, stuff like that, rather than just every possession starts at the 25.
Right.
So that's been a little bit of adjustment. Obviously, I think that that favors the offense more, but it's still going to take some getting used to. And we've said this a ton of times. We're not worried about the new kickoff rules in New Orleans because the Saints have Darren Rizzi as their special teams coordinator, and he is brilliant. So at least I'm not worried about the Saints and the new kickoff rules.
No, and I'm guessing, too, teams are keeping things very quote-unquote vanilla with special team stuff, too, right now. Once we get to the regular season,
yeah, you'll see
hopefully
some more
that
exotic
pop starts
stuff
to happen, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to get some more pop when we come back from this break, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to give a shout-out real quick to the De La Salle Girls Flag Football Team. They were invited to participate in the Nike Football Kickoff Classic today after they posted an undefeated record this season. They outscored opponents, Charlie, 136-19 over 8 games in a local Girls Flag Football League that was sponsored by the Saints. Unfortunately, the girls went down today in Oregon. They were playing De La Salle versus South Anchorage, Alaska, and they got blanked 13-0 in that matchup. But congrats to De La Salle for making it that far, and what a great season that they ended up having there. And I think we've seen this, the sport of flag football. We always talk about flag football on been on the rise. It's kind of like pickleball to me. It's just taking over. So many people now have been involved in it from, and it's good to see the
Isn't
females
it going to
getting
be an
involved
Olympic
too.
Sport too?
Yeah,
and in 2028,
no breakdancing next year, but we will get flag football.
Yeah, thankfully. But flag football going to the Olympics once it comes to America in 2028, it's going to be fun. Real quick, Steve, I accidentally mixed up my Jacksons in that last segment. When
there's
we were
a bunch of them, like
games.
You said.
No, dude, because like Jackson Merrill is who is apparently taking the lead, right? In the rookie of the year conversation
odds,
from
right.
Paul Skeens, as far as odds go. And Jackson Merrill for San Diego is having a fantastic season. You can't really take anything away from him. As a rookie for the Padres, he's hitting .291. He's got an .813 OPS, 71 RBI, 18 home runs. He's been fantastic as far as, you know, a great rookie season. But he's not Paul Skeens. Sorry. He's just not. And so I got him mixed up with Jackson Churio, who, by the way, is number 3 in NL rookie of the year odds for the Brewers. Once again, I mixed up my Jacksons. There's them, and then there's also like Jackson Holiday of the Orioles. There's a bunch of Jacksons popping up now.
I got a Jackson at home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do too. My younger brother is Jackson. But as far as, you know, all these Jacksons are starting to take the MLB by storm. Paul Skeens still 7-2, 2.21 ERA in 17 starts. In the 102 innings pitched, he's got 127 strikeouts and a .95 whip. That's still your rookie of the year, Steve. I mean, look, I know that the Pirates have fallen off a cliff,
right?
But it hasn't been because of Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens' numbers have dipped a little bit since the All-Star break, but if you're still looking at his season at a glance, he's been awesome. And right now, through 5 innings against the Cincinnati Reds, 5 scoreless shutout innings pitched, only allowed 2 hits and 7 strikeouts so far. So once again, we'll keep you updated on that game. It just feels like he still deserves the Rookie of the Year. And while Jackson Merrill, not Jackson Churio, and Churio's been good too, but Jackson Merrill's been awesome. Yeah, it's still Paul Skeens' award to lose, I think.
And poor Paul Skeens, the Pittsburgh Pirates have 1 hit and no runs, giving him 0 support once again. I wish this game was on Fox. I know you were mentioning you wanted to see the Astros.
Well, the Astros are supposed to be on Fox, but I think we're blacked out. I don't know.
Ooh.
We got the Phillies and the Braves on right now. I mean, as far as like the Pirates go, they chose to get hot when they played the Astros and they took that series in Minute Maid, and then they've just been awful since. So that's kind of fun. Thanks, Pittsburgh. But you know, you still seen enough from, I think, Paul Skeens to warrant him being the NL Rookie of the Year. And I still think he belongs in the Cy Young conversation just based off of the numbers that I read.
Definitely interested to see how Paul does tonight. Skeens in action is always must watch TV. Going to take a break. When we get back, we'll close things out in the 6 o'clock hour Sports Talk as we get ready for our fantasy football trip. On the 7 o'clock hour, going to talk to Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Podcast Network. Get your questions lined up if you've got your fantasy draft coming. The do's and don'ts of fantasy football in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, we'll take a break and be right back with Sports Talk after this. We've been talking a little baseball here on Sports Talk. Paul Skeens in action today. One of the favorites for Rookie of the Year honors. And, of course, LSU grad. Speaking of LSU, the Tigers baseball program currently leads the nation with 9 players listed among the Baseball America top 100 transfers for the 2025 season. Jay Johnson, man, keeps reloading this squad, and so anxious, obviously, for another season of Tiger baseball.
You don't think that team's going to be good this year? Man, I'll tell you what. As far as this Baseball America list goes,
wasn't it like someone already had them as number one preseason
baseball
ranking?
America did.
Yeah,
and I am very biased towards D1 and
right.
The D1 guys. We love D1 baseball. I prefer them over Baseball America, but obviously Baseball America also has their opinion. And the list is pretty intriguing here. Daniel Dickinson, who came from Utah Valley, is the number 2 ranked transfer in this class. Also, a little bit lower down the list, Anthony Ianson, number 4, the right-handed pitcher that's going to be competing for a starting job this upcoming year. Right-handed pitcher Devin Sheeran, who's just, you know, from Mount St. Mary's, that sprouted like 6 inches and is now 6'5", and he's pumping fastballs at
109 strikeouts last year, man.
Ridiculous rate. You know, Jacob Myers, the Nickel State ace that moved over to number 17. Chandler Dorsey, another pitcher, number 22. Zach Cowan, 23. So it's not just that they have, like, guys in the top 100, Steve. It's that they got a bunch of guys in the top 25. So, yeah, once again, tell me that this baseball team is not going to be killer this
year. No, I feel like Jay's coming back with a vengeance this season after last year.
Exactly. I would agree with you. So, once again, Baseball America has tons of confidence in them. They're already ranked as the number 1 preseason team. And a big reason for that is a lot of the transfers that they got in to plug up some holes, because they did lose some talent in the offseason, obviously, through the draft. And also, it's going to be a year-by-year process where you're just kind of reloading every single season and trying to make it back to Omaha. So
we're going to have to find a way to be mainstays at Alec Box Stadium come the weekends for next season.
I still want to do a trip to, now that we know that it's going to be in Hoover again, for the SEC tournament.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be a lot of fun to do a couple shows live from the SEC tournament, because I know the D1 guys do it too. Maybe at some point we'll head out to Omaha or something. It'd be fun.
When we get back next hour, folks, we're going to get into some fantasy football talk. Also, dip into the training camp sound bank once again, here from wide receiver Chris Olave. That goes along with fantasy football. He's expected to have a big year. We'll be right back after some big news right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to give a shout out real quick to the De La Salle girls flag football team. They were invited to participate in the Nike Football Kickoff Classic today after they posted an undefeated record this season. They outscored opponents Charlie 136-19 over 8 games in a local girls flag football league that was sponsored by the Saints. Unfortunately, the girls went down today in Oregon. They were playing De La Salle versus South Anchorage, Alaska, and they got blanked 13-0 in that matchup. But congrats to De La Salle for making it that far, and a great season that they ended up having there. And I think we've seen this, the sport of flag football. We always talk about flag football on been on the rise. It's kind of like pickleball to me. It's just taking over. So many people now have been involved in it and it's good to see the
Isn't
females
going to
getting
be an
involved
Olympic
too.
Sport too?
In
2028.
No breakdancing next year, but we will get flag football.
Yeah, thankfully. But flag football going to the Olympics once it comes to America in 2028, that's going to be fun. Real quick, Steve, I accidentally mixed up my Jacksons in that last segment.
There's a bunch of them, like you said.
No, dude, because like Jackson Merrill is who is apparently taking the lead, right? In the Rookie of the Year conversation Paul Skeens, as far as odds go. And Jackson Merrill for San Diego is having a fantastic season. You can't really take anything away from him. As a rookie for the Padres, he's hitting .291. He's got an .813 OPS, 71 RBI, 18 home runs. He's been fantastic as far as, you know, a great rookie season. But he's not Paul Skeens. Sorry. He's just not. And so I got him mixed up with Jackson Churio, who, by the way, is number 3 in NL Rookie of the Year odds for the Brewers. Once again, I mixed up my Jacksons. There's them, and then there's also like Jackson Holiday of the Orioles. There's a bunch of Jacksons popping up now.
I got a Jackson at home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do too. My younger brother is Jackson. But as far as, you know, all these Jacksons are starting to take the MLB by storm. Paul Skeens still 7-2, 2.21 ERA in 17 starts. In the 102 innings pitched, he's got 127 strikeouts and a .95 whip. That's still your Rookie of the Year, Steve. I mean, look, I know that the Pirates have fallen off a cliff,
right?
But it hasn't been because of Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes' numbers have dipped a little bit since the All-Star break, but if you're still looking at his season at a glance, he's been awesome. And right now, through five innings against the Cincinnati Reds, five scoreless shutout innings pitched, only allowed two hits and seven strikeouts so far. So once again, we'll keep you updated on that game. It just feels like he still deserves the Rookie of the Year. And while Jackson Merrill, not Jackson Churio, and Churio's been good too, but Jackson Merrill's been awesome. Yeah, it's still Paul Skenes' award to lose, I think.
And poor Paul Skenes, the Pittsburgh Pirates have one hit and no runs, giving him zero support once again. I wish this game was on Fox. I know you were mentioning you wanted to see the Astros.
Well, the Astros are supposed to be on Fox, but I think we're blacked out. I don't know.
Boo.
We got the Phillies and the Braves on right now. I mean, as far as like the Pirates go, they chose to get hot when they played the Astros, and they took that series in Minute Maid, and then they've just been awful since. So that's kind of fun. Thanks, Pittsburgh. But you know, you still seen enough from, I think, Paul Skenes to warrant him being the NL Rookie of the Year, and I still think he belongs in the Cy Young conversation just based off of the numbers that I read.
Definitely interested to see how Paul does tonight. Skenes in action is always must-watch TV. Going to take a break. When we get back, we'll close things out in the 6 o'clock hour Sports Talk as we get ready for our fantasy football trip. On the 7 o'clock hour, going to talk to Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Podcast Network. Get your questions lined up if you've got your fantasy draft coming. The do's and don'ts of fantasy football in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, we'll take a break and be right back with Sports Talk after this. We've been talking a little baseball here on Sports Talk. Paul Skenes in action today. One of the favorites for Rookie of the Year honors. And, of course, LSU grad. Speaking of LSU, the Tigers baseball program currently leads the nation with nine players listed among the Baseball America top 100 transfers for the 2025 season. Jay Johnson, man, keeps reloading this squad, and so anxious, obviously, for another season of Tiger baseball.
You don't think that team's going to be good this year? Man, I'll tell you what. As far as this Baseball America list goes,
wasn't it like someone already had them as number one preseason
Baseball
ranking?
America did.
Yeah.
And I am very biased towards D1. And
right.
The D1 guys, we love D1 baseball. I prefer them over Baseball America, but obviously Baseball America also has their opinion. And the list is pretty intriguing here. Daniel Dickinson, who came from Utah Valley, is the number two ranked transfer in this class. Also, a little bit lower down the list, Anthony Ianson, number four, the right-handed pitcher that's going to be competing for a starting job this upcoming year. Right-handed pitcher Devin Sheeran, who's just, you know, from Mount St. Mary's, that sprouted like 6 inches and is now 6'5", and he's pumping fastballs at
109 strikeouts last year, man.
Ridiculous rate. You know, Jacob Myers, the Nickel State ace that moved over to number 17. Chandler Dorsey, another pitcher, number 22. Zach Cowan, 23. So it's not just that they have, like, guys in the top 100, Steve. It's that they got a bunch of guys in the top 25. So, yeah, once again, tell me that this baseball team is not going to be killer.
No, I feel like Jay's coming back with a vengeance this season after last year.
Exactly. I would agree with you. So, once again, Baseball America has tons of confidence in them. They're already ranked as the number one preseason team. And a big reason for that is a lot of the transfers that they got in to plug up some holes, because they did lose some talent in the offseason, obviously, through the draft. And also, it's going to be a year-by-year process where you're just kind of reloading every single season and trying to make it back to Omaha. So
we're going to have to find a way to be mainstays at Alec Box Stadium come the weekends for next season.
I still want to do a trip now that we know that it's going to be in Hoover again, for the SEC tournament.
Yeah, that'd be awesome,
too. That'd be a lot of fun to do a couple shows live from the SEC tournament, because I know the D1 guys do it, too. Maybe at some point we'll head out to Omaha or something. It'd be fun.
When we get back next hour, folks, we're going to get into some fantasy football talk. Also, dip into the training camp sound bank once again, hear from wide receiver Chris Olave. That goes along with fantasy football. He's expected to have a big year. We'll be right back after some big news right here on WWL.